from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
I have a confession for you this morning, Ursula.
What's that?
So, yesterday, if you are a Seattle sports fan, which you and a lot of people are, then yesterday was a rough day. Yesterday.
It was.
Okay. And Lillian's son had gone and went to the fair on Saturday, and he brought back a whole bunch of scones that were in the fridge. And I saw them Sunday morning. And so I started off my morning with nobody looking, not even Vito. And I grabbed a scone. Not something that I usually do. But then after all of yesterday, and after all of the sports stuff went down, not the way that it was supposed to, I went down late at night and grabbed the rest of the bags. I'm talking five bags. You feel me?
Five bags of scones?
Well, you know, each one has a bag.
Okay, yeah.
And I grabbed the tub of butter at the same time. And it was heated up, you know what I mean? And and the goodness that's inside of it, that raspberry, it was as good as just gooping out. And I would take a spoonful of butter, and I'd go ahead and cut into that scone, and I ate it all, and I went to sleep.
Somehow I can relate.
Good morning, Ursula. What's happening?
Good morning to you, but we're going to make it so that by the end of the show, hopefully you won't have to do five scones.
Okay.
But we will have to address a few of those losses. Hey, but if you're a Husky fan, you're feeling really good this weekend.
Yeah, you are. You want to hear me say it, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do, because I was there on Saturday night, and I got to tell you, there was a very different feeling in that stadium. Yeah. But we'll talk about that. We'll be talking about drones. Mm-hmm. We'll find out from Rick Riz what is going on with our Seattle Mariners and how they blew that huge lead yesterday. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO is our state roofing text line. We're ready to go.
It's time to get the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And it did happen twice this weekend. Both the Husky game and the Seahawks game were interrupted when a drone was flying near or over the stadiums. On Saturday night, it happened during the fourth quarter of UW's 40-22 win over Stanford. And then yesterday, during the fourth quarter of the Seahawks game, the referees suddenly stopped it.
Checking to see if there was a timeout called.
Timeout for NFL security. Please clear the field.
After a quick break, the Fox announcers tried to explain what was going on.
Official timeout, security to clear the field, and we understand we're getting word that there was some type of drone over the field that should not have been there, was not cleared to be there.
This happened in the this happened with the Stanford Washington game last night.
So, in case you didn't know, it's against federal law to fly drones in or around stadiums with a capacity of 30,000 or more, and if you break that law, you can get penalties up to $37,000 and possibly face criminal charges.
Like Chef said this morning, I thought, too, that there was some kind of geofencing deal around there. I thought that if the drone was to fly over those stadiums, well, you spend all these millions and millions of dollars on that stuff, you'd think that there'd be some kind of invisible force field. I know there's folks that get little shock collars for dogs where dogs can't go past the fence lines. That'll happen. So I thought that over UW, especially, was it Alaska Airlines Stadium and, of course, Lumen Field, that wouldn't be able to happen. I'm scared of copycats. And by the way, how in the world was our good friend Ursula Voitin at both of the events in which drones were flown?
That might have been the big breaking news.
You got
news.
Something to do with it? Ursula!
Yes. Yes. Okay, so we still don't know who is responsible. So the one of the Fox Sports reporters said that during the Seahawks broadcast that the Washington Athletic Department was responsible for the drone on Saturday, which lost connection and went rogue. So we don't have confirmation of that yet, but I will tell you that during Saturday night's game, the drone that was flying over, I mean, it looked like one of those real fancy ones. So it looked like it was a professional, like maybe I thought it had to do with the game.
Right. That makes sense.
I thought it was something that the Husky Athletic Department was responsible for, or it had something to do with. But why are people worried about drones?
I don't know.
Well, what do you think?
Well, a couple things. One, I'm sure you don't know what it could be, right?
Like,
on the serious side of things, you see and you think it is a drone. You don't know what it could be. Hey, excuse me, Mr. Drone, you didn't go through security. That's one. Two, well, you could be recording things during that time. And all of these rights, there's a lot of money. There's millions of dollars that are paid for these TV rights.
Yeah, that's not the part that I care about.
What you care about?
I care about what could be in that, what even small amount of whatever could do a large amount of damage to a whole bunch of people. Yesterday, I was sitting
at...
Yeah, I mean,
security. It didn't go through security.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is absolutely the biggest concern. You might not have heard this, but just a couple of months ago, a drone pilot who dumped leaflets over Levi Stadium and the Oakland Coliseum, well, he was sentenced to 2 years of federal probation. He dropped leaflets that claimed that prostitutes and felons had infiltrated the media and government. So this guy, I mean, they take that very seriously. So someone may think, hey, there's a lot of people here who can see my, you know, whatever it is that I want to share with everybody. But you could face some time. I mean, he's lucky he didn't get, because he could have faced up to 6 months in prison.
But don't get off this topic yet. Real quick before we get to the next. Should it be a felony? And obviously you said it was a felony, but should it be a felony followed with automatic jail time for flying drones in this situation?
Yes.
Because I say yes too.
Yeah, because of the potential harm that you can do. Now, you know, if it's some hobbyist.
And that's probably the most likely explanation, is somebody just wants to get a sweeping panoramic view of the action. Gee, if you think running onto the field is a problem at professional games, just wait until local fans with drones decide to ice the kicker on their own with the drone. You want to stop the offense on the field? Give them a little slowdown, a little break in the action, break up the momentum. Hey, just fly a little drone over. Little window under future, perhaps.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, if you're listening to this and you're probably having the idea to do it, don't do it.
Well,
because you're stopping money being made. So when they had that timeout that wasn't scheduled and they're trying to figure things out.
It was like 8 minutes.
And it means when they come back from timeout, there's going to be ads and stuff that they're going to have to fill in. Don't be messing with their money, y'all. That's going to get you some jail time.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that needs to happen, though, is it seems like they need to do a much better job of educating people. Because more and more people are getting into, hey, this is, you know, this is a cool thing. This is just a fun little hobby. But no, actually.
And keep you away from the stadium, because obviously it happens when you're there.
Okay. Everywhere I went this weekend, it was what people were talking about, the nightmarish traffic because of the I-90 closure. And despite all the warnings, especially from Sully himself, drivers were still beyond frustrated that I-90 to Seattle was closed. Mm-hmm. Some people seemed to be surprised.
Blame Sully.
And they were also hacked off that they had to pay a toll to use 520. So Sully's here. What happened? And then Mercer Island had to take some drastic measures.
Yeah, so this was, you know, it's never a good thing when I get an emergency call from the Department of Transportation telling me, Chris, we need to get the word out. We're changing the way we're doing things because what we're doing is not working.
Oh.
So that happened. Unfortunately, I was in Cheney, and there was no service on the Inferno during Tommy's football game. So I was sitting there. I texted our boss like 30 times to get one text to go through to try to. But here's what happened. I-90 closed except for the last on and off ramp on Mercer Island, right there at West Mercer Way. The goal was to allow people on Mercer Island who live on Mercer Island, they would have access to the lake by using that last on-ramp. But for everybody else, the freeway was closed there. I did a choke point on this last Tuesday to give people plenty of warning about this, including saying, please, please, please do not get off on Mercer Island. Try to work your way through the streets and get to that off-ramp because it can't handle that and it's going to back us up like you wouldn't believe. And that's exactly what happened. People got on the freeway, stayed on the freeway, and then got off in Mercer Island, basically shut the island down trying to get there. And I will say that looking at the signage that was happening, the Department of Transportation, I think, could have done a better job providing better signage, because Holly and I drove through there right after the closure as we headed over to Spokane. And the sign said, on-ramp at Island Crest Way, open. No, it was basically Mercer Island, freeways closed at Mercer Island, but it didn't quite give you the idea that you cannot get to Seattle from here. Don't do this. It could have been a little bit more forceful, which they changed on Sunday when they got, or Saturday, when they got rid of that off-ramp and on-ramp. They shut it down and said, no Seattle access. No Seattle access. Don't get on here. Because I don't think they, but people just didn't get the word. They thought, oh, we'll just get off the on-ramp, right back on the on-ramp. We'll go right through this. It can't, no, you can't, it just didn't work. Mercer Island is not designed for this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, people were backed up 2-3 hours trying to go around through Factoria, through Bellevue Way, through South Bellevue. I mean, everything around that area was just messed up, like people had not heard this was happening.
Yeah, what happened to 520, though?
Well, it filled in as well because, I mean, obviously that was the only other main way to get across the lake.
But I heard from more people who were, and I asked you about it, why didn't they just suspend the tolls
because
on 520?
Because they can't.
I cannot believe you can get a person on the moon and you cannot suspend the tolls on 520.
That's the way.
Yeah. Wait. Time out. Damn, Ursula.
Come on.
Did you have that in your back pocket?
No, I'm just like, when someone says, oh, we can't.
Right.
How can you not?
Because the Department of Transportation says we can't. Because, as G said, it's all tied to what? Dollar bills. It's all tied to that money. The way that the bridge is financed and the way that the tolls are put in it in law to do this construction project, the tolls are tied to paying back the bonds. So you cannot, basically without an act of Congress, well, our own Congress, the legislature, which, yeah, of course, we can't even get them together to do things that we need to do. But this, it would take that to make that happen. And you can't. You can't just wave them willy-nilly whenever you want to because of the way they're financed and the way they're tied to paying back the bonds. And I told that people that on the front end, too.
I know you did.
I only had one problem. And that's when I was leaving the stadium and I was coming off Edgar Martinez, yeah, Way. And I'm getting ready to get on. And it said that I could not go I-5 south.
Oh, yeah. They closed that ramp, too, for Revive I-5.
Bruh. Time out. Pause. So now you're making me go all the way, and then I got to get off on the Rainier in that situation. But what a dumb time to close I-5 South right there. Like, come on now.
They could have closed more lanes, but they only decided to close that off-ramp there. So trust me, that was a scaled back Revive I-5 to what they were planning to do on the front end. But yeah, a lot of people were like, why can't we do this on another weekend where there are not two giant marquee games here? And the answer from the DOT will be, when the weather turns, we need to have gotten this work done. It's either we do it now or we don't. The sunny season for the work that they need to do, the dry season, only lasts so long. And that's what they're going to tell you. And that's what they will say. That's what they did say over the weekend. And
so we're not anticipating another weekend like this?
Well, the Seahawks and the Huskies are out. But 520 is closed this weekend. Yeah. So, but that's okay. It doesn't have a toll.
You know what I love about all this? Like, WatchDog, they're just sitting back like, what you gonna do?
They were in a bit of a panic.
Yeah, they were in
a
panic
weekend.
Saturday. Yeah.
Panic how?
By reaching out to me.
Oh, yeah. They reached out to you. So what's G gonna say? I'm not riding your freeways no more?
Well, yeah.
What you gonna do?
I'll tell you what you're gonna do.
What?
You do what I did.
What you do?
I took light rail. Light rail was packed. But it worked.
That's what they want you to do. Yes, they want you out of your cars anyways.
Yeah. Oh, wow, look at you. I'm not going to jump. Look, all of a sudden, you're sounding pretty familiar. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was a nightmare. It was difficult. And I think people underestimated the ability to get off and use Mercer Island streets, thinking it was Bellevue.
Are the people in Mercer Island, because I know we have some listeners, are you guys okay?
Well, we'll have to check with Dave. I know his friends were a little facetious. Upset.
No, I'm sure they had more visitors that they were used to.
Yeah, it would be a pain if you can't
get out of your neighborhood.
Your neighborhood, yeah, exactly. I have sympathy.
But Dave planned ahead.
In Mercer Island had too much business and like it's too much foot traffic, and then used our carts in the Mercer Island.
No, I think people were just looking for ways to get off the island. Yes. I don't think they got out and spent $1, unless it was to buy gas because they were about to run out.
Sully, thank you. Yeah,
I wish it was better,
you.
But
thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to end on a positive note here because because over the weekend, more than 7,000 healthcare workers at Providence Swedish ratified a new contract that includes raises of more than 21% over 2 years, or $6.50 an hour, whichever is higher. Their union calls it historic and says it is the largest economic package the workers have ever won. And in addition to the higher pay, the contract also includes incentive pay for night and extra shifts and retention bonuses. And of course, this new deal for Swedish comes just weeks after Seattle Children's Nurses also ratified a contract that included major pay raises.
When we first started the Gene Ursula Show back in 2020, we talked about how thousands of hospital staffers at that time, remember, they went on strike for like 3 days, and then they had a an agreement after a year of negotiations. So that resulted in a 12.5% raise. That was good news. And then here we are again, and the good news about this, Ursula, is this. And by the way, this article is so good to read. Two sides coming together, they wanted to get it done. That was positive. But the biggest takeaway was this, also in this, is extra money, more money for the service workers and the non-nursing staffers who generally get paid less than the nursing staff. They made sure to include them as a part of this. And I got to tell you, Ursula, everything about this article put me in such a good mood.
Yeah, the Seattle Times did a good job outlining all of it. And we have to point out, though, because if some people say, well, where does the money come from? Or how are they going to do this? It makes sense for the hospital, too, because they've been paying through their nose having to pay for these traveling nurses.
Yeah.
For example, MultiCare spent $187 million as of June this year. They spent $160 million last year, $71 million in 2020, and $68 million in 2019. They basically tripled what they spent on travel nurses.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was renting her place in Edmonds to a travel nurse because she could get more money from this travel nurse who was getting oodles of money for working at a local hospital. Even though she lives elsewhere. So it makes more sense for the hospitals as well. So, and then overall, it's just going to end up in being better care.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a very positive. Okay, still ahead. People all around the world, including right here in the Bellevue neighborhood, are protesting the death of an Iranian woman who was arrested for wearing her head covering too loosely. We're going to have the very latest on that. We'll also talk to a member of the Persian community who's devastated by what's happening in her home country. This is the Gene Ursula Show. Show. Welcome to this Monday morning. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And as you just heard in Heather's newscast, the protests that have spread throughout Iran have now come to the U.S., including to the streets of Bellevue. And this morning we're hearing now that the Iranian regime is cracking down on demonstrators across that country after a 22-year-old woman died while in custody of Iran's morality police. Her alleged crime? She was accused of not wearing her head covering properly. And joining us right now is Leila Faranj. You've heard her on our show before. She is a local Iranian woman, and she owns Euro's Place in downtown Seattle. Good morning, Leila.
Good morning, Ursula. Good morning, G.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. And I know that you reached out to me when we first heard about what happened to this young woman. And I suspect that you've been watching what's been going on in your home country. Tell me how you feel about what you're seeing right now.
Ursula, I'm so outraged. This is the regime in Iran. They are so less people. They're killing people for no good reason. Mahsa Amini, this young lady they killed, she was perfectly dressed the way they want her to dress. You know, every morning we here wake up and we don't even think what you're going to wear, what kind of shoes you have to wear to go to work or do whatever you're going to do. But over there, you have to think what you're going to put on your head, what you have to wear. You cannot wear colorful shoes. You cannot put too much makeup. You know, they're controlling women for no good reason. And if they don't like the way you dress, what they do? They take you away. And if you're lucky, you can get out with lashes or they do stuff to you. And in this situation, they killed her. They beat her up so much, they died.
Layla, it's unfortunate, the insecurities of men not wanting women to be equal in all forms really is a very sad thing. So when you see examples of women's rights being taken away, whether it's abroad or here locally, what goes through your mind?
You know, it's sad. You know, they in Iran, they're well educated. Iranian women are well educated. And I was there 3 years ago. And everywhere you go, they're running the country. They do everything. And they don't have even a voice, or they don't have right to wear whatever they like to wear. This is the saddest thing in, you know, we are in 2022. Why we have to even talk about this? Why we have to think what to wear to go to work every day? This is, I'm just very upset because they're killing young kids. They are full of life. They're educated. They go to university. Yes. They want have jobs, but, you know, they have nothing to look for. Hope in Iran is gone for young generation.
And you mentioned that so many of these young people are educated and they're fighting back. And so we are seeing these protests all over Iran and around the world. And in attempts to try to stop these protests, the Iranian government is now doing things like shutting down access to the internet. Do you think that the more the world pays attention and these protests that are happening around the world, do you think that could have any impact on the Iranian government in terms of how things are being run right now?
You know, it should. You know, the United States put Iran, the sanctions are so bad they put on Iran. But they put it on Iranian people, not the regime doing all the bad things around the world. So the sanctions are killing the Iranians. Nothing goes in that country. The only people can get stuff to that country is Russia and China. Nowhere else, none other country can send or purchase anything from Iran because of the sanctions are going on. And as long as, you know, everything like this, the controlling a lot of people, you know, it's just, I'm so upset. I don't know what to say about it. You know, right now Elon Musk said, I'm going to send the satellite internet to Iran because, you know, that's the only way they can communicate with outside of Iran. The journalists cannot go to Iran. You know, 60 Minutes did the interview with Ebrahim Raisi, which is the president of Iran. But if you go listen to it, Leslie Stahl is going to tell you they told her what to wear, what to ask. You know, they're controlling everybody. You cannot do that, you know. It's just you have to give at least a little bit of freedom to people to live. They are controlling all aspects of people's life over there.
Layla, we appreciate your perspective, and yes, it's heartbreaking to see, and I know that it has affected you, and we appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you.
You know, can I say something, Ursula, before I leave? You know, people here in United States, you are living, I just want to tell you this, you're living in best country in face of earth. The freedom and freedom of speech and the freedom you have is priceless. Over there, people are fighting for this, and they're getting killed for it.
Hey, Layla, I agree with what you just said, and you're right. The way things are here is a lot better than other places. But can we both agree that even here, there had to be a fight for equality? people had to lose lives in order to get to where we are. So I say that in hopes of maybe now the whole world can finally see what you and others have been saying have been going on. It's one thing to read about it, but it's another thing to see it. It reminds me of when we saw what happened with Emmett Till in 1955 and how we were able to progress from those times.
Amen to that. And hopefully people go read about it, go to YouTube and see the footage. It's coming from Iran. It's horrible. I can't even see much of it because it upsets me and nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. Just I can go protest and just be behind these people losing their lives for nothing.
Layla, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Bo. Thank you so much.
Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, every morning there's something that makes me want to really fight Chef. And this topic on We Need to Talk is one of those topics, and it happens to be who the halftime performer is for the Super Bowl in February of 2023. We talk about that next. G and Ursula. Today, but I gotta tell you, my main man Brady is doing his thing. Good morning to you, Brady.
Good morning, G. How we doing?
I'm good, brother. Hey, coming up next at 10 o'clock, we will have you and tell you what's new, but right now we need to talk about the halftime show. Now, first, 888-973-5476. I need to ask you and everybody that's listening, do you care? Do you care who the halftime performer is for the Super Bowl games? Well, it was officially announced yesterday in a beautiful way, by the way, because Rihanna, oh, I just let the cat out of the bag, but Rihanna on her social media posted a picture of her holding a football, and then it's like, oh, could she be performing? And then it comes out that she is. Rihanna will be the halftime performer for the Super Bowl that's going to be played down in Glendale, Arizona, in February of 2023. As we all know that Dr. Dre and all of Snoop and all those guys were the performers last year. This year, well, at first they thought there was going to be Taylor Swift. It's not going to be Taylor Swift. It's going to be Rihanna. Ursula, a couple questions I'll have to ask for you. One, do you care who the halftime performer is? And then two, we're going to have fun by asking you and listeners, who is so far your favorite halftime performer during the Super Bowl? What you got, Ursula?
Okay, first question.
Do you care?
Do I care on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I care a ton? I'll say I'm at about a 6.
Okay.
So when I saw Rihanna, hey, cool. I like Rihanna's music. It's been a while since I've really paid attention to her. So I'm excited about it. But I would be more excited if I had better feelings about the Seahawks. How's that?
Okay.
So, I mean, I think I'd be feeling a lot better if I thought, oh, the Seahawks would have a chance of getting to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, we're going to be entertained. Right now, I'm just hoping that the Seahawks have a winning season. Mm-hmm. But I think for the casual sports observer like myself,
right,
it's more interesting than to maybe someone like Chef, who was like, who cares?
Right. Well, I'm a football fan. Yeah. I'm a big-time football fan. And I really care who's performing at halftime. And I'm glad you did the scale of 1 to 10. So let me just tell you this. On the scale of 1 to 10, as far as Rihanna's music, I'm at like a 2.
Uh-huh.
But on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as Rihanna, 12. I just like Rihanna. I just like everything about her. I love her personality. I love the way she moves and grooves. I love when she's talking. I think she's crazy cool. I love Rihanna. So the fact that she's going to be performing at halftime, which, by the way, if you ask me right now to name a song, I can't name a song, but I know but I know the music. You know what I'm saying? But I love Rihanna. So there it is.
Okay.
Now,
I want to ask folks, though, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. What has been your favorite Super Bowl halftime show ever? to date, and what do you think is the worst? You go first.
Okay. A lot of folks already, Chef called this, a lot of folks already texting in and giving Prince.
Okay. Chef? Do we have?
I'm not supposed to do this.
I know. I told Chef.
I haven't
been begging
pulled up.
Him.
It's on a sheet if you want to
okay,
play
yes,
it, but
yes,
I refuse.
Yes, yes. No, please play it.
As oh, God.
You know what's worse than talking about music and not.
I can do it.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, why is it that you didn't want to bring this up?
You're not supposed to do this as a producer, but there are certain topics that come up and you just think to yourself, this is the most pedantic thing I could possibly imagine. I feel like a Canadian citizen listening to Mariners highlights from 1995. I don't care at all. I might as well be living in Switzerland and wondering what's going to happen with, I don't know, this year's CONCACAF Cup with soccer. I don't care at all. So, you know what? If you are one of those listeners that tunes in and hears us talk about sports and you think, I could not care less about this topic, I feel for you right now because I am in your shoes.
Boy,
it's
this
fine.
Is good radio.
It's just fine. You know, the halftime show is great. It's a thing. I know people like it. Just like, you know, whatever, the royal family in Britain. Okay. They're a thing. It's cool. Okay. They're fans. They're okay. Fine.
You know what,
am I
what,
done?
You know what one of the biggest rules is in radio? If you want good ratings, don't make the masses feel like minus the M. And so if
minus the M.
Yeah. Masses feel like what rhymes with that? Take off the M. Don't make the
Well, first of all,
and
we've been doing radio. We've been doing radio this longer, so and this is the first time you've shared this with us.
Yes, because that's not normally something you would bring up. But essentially,
I think I'm in the majority here.
Yeah.
I think I'm in the majority.
Okay, so we're gonna just have you hush up for a second, because I do want to hear one of my favorites. So one of my favorite halftime shows.
Oh, this is an arrow on my end.
So Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Chef?
It won't let me play because it says
our computer system appears to be sabotaging this cut.
Yeah.
I don't know why. How awful.
Okay, so one of my favorite is Bruno Mars.
Yes.
And one of my least favorite, I think the worst.
Katy Perry?
No.
Katy Perry is awful.
No.
Okay, who's the worst? Who's the worst?
Maroon 5.
He
had to take off his shirt and he was trying everything because
it
just was so bad.
You're right. You're right.
That Mr. DMs?
Mr. DMs? Yeah. Because
So what was your best and what was your worst?
My favorite is Michael Jackson. I know this is crazy, but it was so cool when Michael started off. You guys remember he started off at the top of the stadium, and then boom, the fireworks happen, and then all of a sudden he's down in the middle, down on the field. I thought that was really cool. That was before its time. Michael Jackson. A lot of people say Prince. Prince was okay. It was cool, but it didn't do for me what Michael Jackson did for me. And I gotta agree with you, Ursula. Bruno Mars was fantastic, and I believe Bruno Mars for the rest of his life will be very well compensated because of how great he was. And oh, by the way, Bruno Mars is great, period. He is a great performer. Fantastic. The overall winner is Prince. Prince, you guys text in, and also, by the way, you guys care about the Super Bowl. Coming up next, we'll tell you what's new at 10. Gene Ursula.